We've sung psalms that are kind of quiet, meditative, reflective. You need a vacation. Maybe an odd question at the beginning of September. Summer is over. Times of rest and vacation and reflection. You know, summer reading, people get books they take to the beach. A time is gone. People are thinking about September. Some of you guys start class tomorrow. Some of us have been in school already for a few weeks. The fall is here. But for many of you, your fall was just like the summer, which was very much like the spring. Your life does not rotate around the academic calendar. Though it seems to imprint itself on our culture, for many of us, our work is just a daily and weekly and monthly flow of activity and toil. Over and over and over. You might get a holiday here or there. You might take some vacation, but it's not structurally in your life the way it is if you're in academics, where June comes, late May, and you get 3 months that at least are different activity. Hopefully it's not inactivity. You're probably busy through the summer, but you're doing something different. Some of us will get tomorrow off. What is tomorrow? Labor Day. It's Labor Day and we get a holiday. Never quite sure how that went together. Some of us will get that holiday, but then we will spend the rest of the week working harder and longer to make up for the missed day. It's not really much of a holiday. It just crushes the week together and makes the other 4 days a little more frantic and hectic. Well, the Lord knows these burdens of work. He worked. We're told that our Lord, after creation, rested. And Jesus, when he came of age, he worked. Like, at one point, the people ask, is this not the carpenter? He worked. So he knows your burden. And in his mercy, our Lord offers rest. Rest of body and soul. Rest for your spirit and your emotions. In the days of his flesh, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Psalm 23 is a picture of that rest and the care and the comfort that can be found in Jesus. So let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. It's found on page 581 of the Bibles. This is perhaps the best known psalm, perhaps the most beloved psalm. If there are people who know very little about the Bible, this is one passage they might know. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 opens with a very simple confession of faith. The Lord, Yahweh, the one who is, I am, is my shepherd. I'll not want. Is that true of you? Is that your confession of faith today, that the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. Sheep rely on the shepherd. They rely completely on their shepherd. So David uses this relationship as a metaphor for his own relationship to God. I'll not want. Think about that for a moment. Think about your own life. Is there anything in your life for which you genuinely want? Is there something that is crucial to your life that's missing? The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. There's nothing that I'm missing. It's a statement of complete trust that God will meet his every need. And it is so personal. Elsewhere, God is described as a rock, a fortress, a shield. And now it's relational. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. Sheep are not hearty animals. They're not tough. They're not particularly aggressive. If you go out in the wilderness, you're never warned about staying away from sheep. You are warned about other kind of animals. Bears, wolves, predators. I don't think anybody ever gets warned about sheep. Sheep do not pose really any threat. In fact, they are more often the victim. So they're weak. They are subject to attack. So it's imperative for the shepherd to grant them adequate rest, lest they become overcome with exhaustion. And the psalmist picks up on that. He says, the Lord makes me lie down in grassy meadows. That's the literal Hebrew. In grassy pastures. He leads me beside waters of resting places. Which is why I said this psalm is about rest. Who doesn't want to lie down and just be in a quiet place of rest? The Lord does not drive us. But rather, he leads at a gentle pace. Isaiah 40, verse 11, picks up on the same theme of shepherding. And here the prophet says this, speaking for the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. He leads us gently if we allow him. See, it's our culture that encourages extremes. It's the culture that drives us to overwork 50 hours, 60 hours. The United States of America economically is known for its great efficiencies. Why? Because our workers work hard. They'll stay late. In fact, in our economy, our workers, compared to the rest of the world, spend more hours on the job than other cultures. So it's not just that I'm being more productive because I'm a more efficient worker. I actually put in more hours. And we value that. It's become kind of a badge of honor of busyness. Sometimes we seem to honor people, particularly in the church, who are quite busy. In fact, if you're not busy, there must be something wrong. You should be hard at work. Now, there is a place for work. There's also, though, a place for rest. So not only does our culture pressure us to work and work many hours, it then also presses us to play and recreate very hard. And we almost hold up our recreation and sports and all that as another competing value. So it's almost schizophrenic. Work really hard. Spend time on the job, extra time on the job to get ahead. And then, by the way, when you actually are away from there, play now really hard. I've met families that way that are driven by this. Dad and mom work really hard, and then they come home, and then they got to get their kids to six different sporting events. And their families are driven hard. So we tire ourselves in the pursuit of what the world values. Stuff. The gathering of material goods. Power. Approval. Ease. I'm going to get those things because I work hard. Then I'm going to enjoy them because I play hard. In fact, we can actually get fatigued pursuing rest. I work really, really hard. Why? So I can go on vacation. But I don't just sit maybe on the beach. I do things on vacation. I come home and I'm exhausted from my vacation. Maybe some of you have had that experience. I have a fellow teacher at Trinity Christian School. Dave's sense of vacation is quite different. He takes a beach chair to the beach with an umbrella, and he sits for hours. And then he posts pictures on Facebook every couple of hours. Here's my view from my office this week. Then another picture. He hasn't moved. But Dave knows how to rest. And he comes back refreshed. And I meet other people who go on vacation, they come home exhausted. And they're worn out. So we can actually become fatigued and exhausted pursuing rest, and yet, what do we hear from the Lord? Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, looking at the crowd, saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he saw them as scattered and harried and victimized in his day. He said the shepherds, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests weren't doing their job as shepherds. And so the people were victimized. They were exhausted. They were worn out. And he says, come to me and I will give you rest. So Psalm 23 sets all of this in a context of peace and calm. The world is hectic and frantic and chaotic. And yet God in his grace gives opportunity to withdraw from all of that for times of refreshment. That's the purpose of Sabbath. Rest. Something of which our culture anymore knows very, very little. Used to be people didn't go out and do commercial things on Sunday because they were resting. And then sports became popular on Sundays. And then commerce became popular on Sundays. And there is no now time when we culturally rest. In fact, I read this a number of years ago that there are only 2 days in the calendar out of 365 in which there is not a professional sporting event in the U.S. Only 2 days. And it's the day before and after the Major League All-Star break. I don't know if that's still true because soccer's becoming bigger. But I thought, really? And what I found interesting was a commentary on sports by a sports writer commending the idea of rest and observing that our culture anymore knows nothing about rest. And Psalm 23 is about rest. And so we gather no longer on the seventh day of the week, but on the eighth day, the day of new creation, the day of resurrection, the day of new birth. And we rest. We find spiritual and emotional and physical and mental rest. And we're rejuvenated for the rest of the week in our work and in those activities. So by the means of grace and fellowship with one another, we are nurtured and fed and encouraged and restored. Notice the psalmist says of the shepherd, he restores my life. It says in our translation, soul, but the word really is life. It's more encompassing. And we need it. We need renewal and revival and restoration, and the Lord gives it. He's allowed us, he says, rest in the face of unfinished work. Because there's always something to do. He says, don't work on this day. In the face of unfinished work, rest. In the midst of political and social and economic uncertainty, he says, rest. He restores us. He's our shepherd. And no matter what happens, the confession is, we'll not want. Do you believe that? Is he your shepherd? Because the shepherd leads. This is one way you can tell. Is he really my shepherd? Do you follow him? Already from John 10, the sheep know my voice and they follow me. The shepherd leads. He sets the pace. He's out front scouting the terrain, looking for dangerous situations that might face the flock. And the good shepherd has done the same for us. He goes out in front. He calls us by name. And we're told in 1 John 2:6 that the one who claims to love Jesus should walk the way he did. Do we? Do you? Could it be said of us, they're followers of Christ because they walk the way he did? He leads in paths of righteousness. He does not lead into temptation. In fact, he encouraged us to pray that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what a shepherd does. He does not lead into danger. He leads in paths of righteousness. God's law acts as guardrails. It shows where it's safe to go. Will we follow? And I often use that illustration about the law of God. People driving down the highway don't typically think of the guardrails as restricting their freedom. I have never thought that driving down the turnpike. That guardrail is restricting my freedom. It's there for a reason. It's protecting. It's shepherding me down the highway. And that's what the law of God does. It's how the shepherd uses his law to shepherd us along the highway. But will we follow? What I've discovered is that when I have not done righteousness, when I have fallen into sin, I have to own that I have not been following my shepherd. That's how sheep get into trouble. They go off on their own. By the way, paths of righteousness do not lead to Ashley Madison. Paths of righteousness do not lead to Rivers Casino. Paths of righteousness do not lead to PittsburghMedium.com or to any other spiritist, and there are many of them. Palm readers and tarot card readers and astrologers, paths of righteousness do not go there. Paths of righteousness do not lead to fits of rage. They do not lead us to envy, drunkenness, drug addiction, pride. That's not where paths of righteousness lead us. Paths of righteousness, however, may pass through very dark places. They might go through dark valleys. But even here, the psalmist says, I'm not afraid because the shepherd is with me. There is no reason to be afraid. In the midst of trouble, the Lord is with us. In the midst of job loss and economic uncertainty, disappointment, betrayal, conflict, hunger, sickness, and even death. There is no reason to be afraid because the shepherd, our Lord, is with us. And our good shepherd has already passed that way. He's been in these circumstances. When things look most bleak, He is there. And by His Spirit, He gives us comfort and assurance. Sheep can go anywhere when the shepherd is with them. And sometimes He may even lead us to places that we don't really think we want to go. But He leads that way. And so we go. Because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Many of us know and are familiar with the end of Romans 8. The promise that Paul writes, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Psalm 23 is the Old Testament version of that. The psalmist says that, I will fear no evil. And He leads me here for His name's sake. God is glorifying His name. He gets the glory if we would follow Him. Well, I've told you in some ways where the paths of righteousness don't lead. But where do they lead? Well, they ultimately lead at the end of the psalm to the house of the Lord. to intimate fellowship with our host around a table spread with every good thing. Jesus in the upper room, before he went to the cross, said, "I'm leaving, I'm going ahead of you." Why? To prepare a place. I'm going to prepare a place so that you can be with me where I am. That's Psalm 23. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The climax of history is a wedding feast, and we have been invited. We are the honored guests, but we're also the bride. We're both. And that is our destiny. And so here at the end of Psalm 23, there's a picture here of the union and communion we have with the Lord Jesus, with the shepherd. In him, we're anointed, we're blessed. Our cup overflows. There's nothing that we lack. And so we celebrate his victory and this wedding while our enemies are forced to watch from afar, excluded from the party. They're outside. Jesus uses that illustration in some of his parables. There's the wedding and light and joy and gladness inside, and outside there is darkness and weeping and wailing. So it is here, the feast in the presence of enemies. Is that your destiny? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know, I'll not want? Is that your hope and confession? Because we are sheep, and we're on the move, led by our shepherd. We are pilgrims on the road, led by our Lord. And we are accompanied by goodness and mercy, or goodness and loving kindness. It's this Hebrew word, chesed, which has so many meanings. It's God's covenant loyalty. In fact, you could almost think of them as sheepdogs. They're hounding the sheep. They help the shepherd. Because the word here is not followed, it's actually pursued. Usually when we think of being pursued, it's not a good thing. We're running and we're being pursued. Sometimes you get little children around dogs and they say, you know, don't run from the dog. Why? Because the dog will start to chase you. These are a couple of dogs you really want to run from. I'd like to be pursued by goodness and mercy, hounded by goodness and chesed. And they're going to help the shepherd manage the sheep to get us where we need to be. So whatever befalls us, wherever our road leads, we are supported by the knowledge of God's goodness and love. Paul says, I know that God works everything together for good, for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. We're being pursued by this. And this is John 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Come, I'm the door. Come through me and you'll find pasture. I have come that they might have life abundantly. I know my sheep, and I give to them eternal life. And no one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Totally protected. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So Psalm 23 shows us ultimately the satisfaction of following the Good Shepherd. But it is likely that some of us today here are not following the shepherd. We are not on paths of righteousness. We are on some other path, and it's leading to destruction. It's leading to broken relationships. It's leading to trouble. And the word to us is repent. Repent. The Lord says, make a U-turn. Leave those paths of destruction and get on the path of righteousness. Listen for the voice of the shepherd. Ask him to call you. Ask him for guidance. Ask him to direct you. Ask his forgiveness. And say, no longer do I want to be on my own way. Call me that I might follow you, no matter where. Frost says that he came in a wood to two roads. Can't get the line. Yeah, but I can't remember how the poem begins, and I didn't write it down. I had it. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Thank you. And I took the one less traveled. Culturally, that's where we're going. We're going to take the road less traveled. Jesus says, narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Choose life. Choose the paths of righteousness. Choose the way of blessing. Perhaps today you feel harried and hurried, harassed and helpless. And those to me would be indications that you're on the wrong road. The shepherd says, come follow me, and I'll make you lie down in grassy meadows and lead you beside waters of resting places. Come to Jesus that you might find rest for your souls. Learn to sing Psalm 23. And sing it. Sing it into your heart and into your mind. Sing it on those paths of righteousness. And so affirm in word and in deed that the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. Because that will make all the difference. Lord, thank you for being our shepherd. And some of us today are certainly not on paths of righteousness. Lord, we are sheep, and we wander. Isaiah affirms that all we like sheep have gone astray. But even knowing your voice, even being part of your flock, we still tend to wander. And all praise to you, Good Shepherd, that you leave the 99 to go look for that lost sheep. And you have found us, and you have called us by name, and you have saved us. You have laid down your life for us. Call us again. Call us back. Turn to us, and we will be saved. May each of us turn to you. May each of us put our feet firmly on those paths of righteousness, saying no to ungodliness, saying no to the cultural values that bombard us, and saying yes to you, our shepherd. And may we from our heart be able to affirm today, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lead us, shepherd, that we together might celebrate for eternity at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Because you are the Lamb that was slain. And by your death, burial, and resurrection, there is the forgiveness of sins proclaimed to all people. And today we rest in that. To the praise of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.